Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 30th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back. One heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, welcome to the broadcast. First hour, Chris Carlson joins us, a discussion of all things liberty. I'm not even going to go into the recap. I'll save that for later. We've got an incredible debate, and it all starts now. What is the debate, you may ask? Was Donald Trump's presidency a success or a failure? That all depends, ladies and gentlemen, on how you define success and failure, right? So first off, I think we need to kind of understand what is success or failure. And Chris is going to define it as he sees it. I'm going to define it as I see it. And then we'll weigh in to the debate topics at hand. Chris, how do you define failure or success, first of all?
Well, first of all, without God, we cannot win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight, Sam. Lieutenant Carlson, amen. Reporting for duty, sir. Got to get that
Roger
out of
that.
The way.
Great work. How do you define success and failure, sir?
Well, you do it through a number of metrics. One, I would say, would be the size of government. The other would be the deficit that we've incurred over that four-year period, how many babies we've allowed abortion doctors to be slaughtered, whether or not we're still engaged in wars of aggression in foreign nations, as well as whether or not we have been able to control the influx of people into this country who we may or may not want to be coming into this country. So those are a few of the metrics.
All right. I would say the metrics are completely different. So in this debate, it's going to be a little hard to measure failure and success if we have completely definitions. But here's my definition. Every act, every thought is either good or evil, right or wrong.
Correct.
Positive or negative.
I would concur.
All right. So with that definition, we can't use outcome-based results, oftentimes, to debate someone's intentions, to debate reality, to debate the changes on the ground that are separate from those thoughts, those actions, those, all right? So let's talk about it now on a grand scale, as you wish, and then we'll dig into some questions that I have, separating those thoughts and intentions and actions individually from downstream effects of those actions. All right, so let me give you a quick example to make the point. If I'm in a river and I'm going downstream and I swim hard and I swim hard and I swim hard, and then I get out later and I'm way further downstream, but I was swimming to go upstream and I get out, some could say it's a failure. I'm downstream. I should have been upstream, by golly, from when I got in if it wasn't a failure. Others would say the fact that you're alive, Sam, is a success. The fact is, my intentions were good. My acts were correct, even though I may be downstream. What if there's a greater purpose that God has for me being further downstream? Have I failed? Interesting questions to ask as we start this discussion or debate. So let's talk about it. Money deficit spending is your first headline, right?
Yes, sir. I've got the numbers right in front of me.
Go.
So I've got outlays and then expenditures. And obviously, the expenditures are going to be more than the outlays. Under Obama in 2015, those were approximately half a trillion. I get my B's and T's and M's mixed up. So in 2015, approximately.
Don't worry, it's only zeros behind the difference.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's comforting, Sam. Okay, so in 2015, I'm going to compare. I'm going to compare 2015 under Obama with 2020 under Trump. According to the numbers that I have, Sam, in 2020 under Donald Trump and Congress, you got to give Congress credit or blame in this case for these numbers. Our federal budget deficit was double that in 2015 under Obama. Okay. Now I realize that, like I said, Congress has to take some responsibility for those deficit spending numbers. But Donald Trump did sign the legislation that appropriated that money, and he should never have signed any budget that was not balanced, I submit to you.
And I would submit you're right. President Trump shouldn't have signed many of those things. On the other hand, Congress, at least constitutionally, has the power of the purse. Should I blame the power of the purse on you, Chris?
Well, inasmuch as I have the power to either sign that budget appropriation bill or reject it, yes, I would always reject it. And I don't care if, you know, what the results are. I would submit that going into deficit spending eventually is a greater threat than perhaps shutting the government down for a period of time. So, yeah, I blame Trump just as much as Congress, inasmuch as he has a hand in that process.
All right, who has more blame, the 435 members of the House, the 100 members of the Senate, or Donald Trump, or the predecessors of all these people? Who has the greater blame?
Well, ultimately, the people have the blame, Sam, because they're the
ones
right.
That
elected
these individuals. So who's more responsible, you or Donald?
Well, I would blame myself if it were before the year 2001, because before then, I was a Republican. I would vote for the Republican because I thought that they had a superior plan than the Democrats, and I had this epiphany. But ever since 2001, I have not voted for either a Democrat or a Republican. I always go independent. So in this case, Sam, I cannot be blamed. Sorry.
All right. So the budget deficit, the money deficit spending, you're gonna dump on the Donald, right?
Absolutely. And he
deserves it. Let me ask you a question. Is it possible to get out of debt completely with a fiat money system?
Absolutely not. The numbers do not allow that. If we did, it would completely extinguish the American money supply throughout the world. And that would not be a good thing.
Right, so,
but people don't know that.
So the reality is passing or failing a given piece of legislation based on finances, if you can never get out of debt, unless you jettison the whole debt-based system, to a great degree, doesn't matter. You're going to hit the wall sooner or later. The only question is, will you hit the wall sooner if you spend more, right?
Well, and it begs the question, why did not Donald Trump articulate this conundrum that we find ourselves in? Because
right, so
as the JFK, titular head of this nation...
Hold on. JFK tried to do that and created $2 bills that took us off of the fake money and created what are called United States $2 bills, United States notes, not Federal Reserve notes. So they weren't tied to interest or debt. If you move to that system, you would be able to slowly but surely pay it all off because there's no interest.
Right.
The logic, ladies and gentlemen, to make it simple, is if you have a dollar that's borrowed and there's only one place for money and you owe interest, it costs $1 to pay it back. But since there's no other place to get money because of the monopoly on money, you'll never pay back the $1 because you don't have any other money to pay it back. It's fundamentally impossible. With that reality check in mind, JFK tried to take us out of it and got killed, right?
Exactly. He didn't live long enough to follow through with that program. Then the discussion becomes, Sam, do you or do you not educate the people on this reality? And in the case of Donald Trump, he was grossly negligent in failing to inform the people about this corrupt and impossible monetary system under which we now toil. Why didn't
now,
he
I don't
have
know,
a,
I don't know if he I don't know if he understands it enough, but if he does, they'd be more accountable than if he doesn't, right?
Well, I understand it. You know, I'm not a working, educated businessman. I'm not a billionaire. You would think that he would understand.
I agree, but we don't know if he understands it or not, though. But I digress.
Right.
He did talk about the importance of gold and silver and returning to a gold standard on several occasions, and eventually talked about trying to jettison the Federal Reserve. Now, I agree that was a little bit of talk and a lot less mojo. However, at least he broached those subjects more than any other president in my lifetime.
He did. And that's not saying much, considering who has preceded him in the presidency, Sam. It's like
well, you got
saying
that right,
that I got
sure.
last place. like saying I got last place in an ugly contest. Well, you still qualified for the ugly contest. That's the best.
That is correct. And so I submit to you, though, that, hey, any act that's good is good, and any act that's bad. And so on the acts of good, he brought up the problems with the Federal Reserve. He brought up the problems with deficit spending. Part of the problem with the deficit spending scenario is that as the snowball gets bigger, it's harder and harder and harder and harder to get out of the way of that snowball. And the next question becomes, is it possible, and think about this carefully, is it possible to leave the debt-based economy peacefully? And I submit to you that it is not.
Oh, it is if you educate the general populace. See, that's one of the main issues that I had with Mr. Trump. He was not an educator. Because you think about this, Sam, and this is extremely important. Think about what other individual in the entire world has more influence on the American people than the president, has more access to the media, has more access to what we irreverently refer to as the bully pulpit. Can you think of one individual that can convene a press conference and communicate with more people than the president of the United States?
Yeah, but communicating with a lot of people doesn't denote success or doesn't denote power or ability to change people's lives. I submit that religious leaders have more power to change people's lives and bring people to Christ and make a bigger difference than the president might take it on the money changers, the global shadow government backed by fiat currency. Hang tight. Chris Carlton, Sam Bushman on your radio.
Is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
The debate continues, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson. Was Donald Trump's presidency a success, is the question. Some say, hey, complete failure. Others say incredible success. Chris Carlson is convinced that the Trump administration, complete failure. And I'm convinced that the Trump administration, although far, far, far from perfect, was a tremendous success on many fronts. And how you define success and failure has somewhat to do with the answer. So it's not a debate about who's right and wrong, ladies and gentlemen. That's not this debate. Because we're not trying to prove Chris wrong or prove Sam right or the opposite. What we're trying to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to get you to think about incredible principles. Chris just articulated how you know what? President Trump needed to have educated, and he missed an incredible opportunity to educate. And I would agree with that fact. He did. He could have done a whole lot more educating on the Constitution. There's no doubt about it. But that assumes that Donald has that knowledge to convey. I submit that he does not. I submit that Trump is not a constitutionalist, and I submit that he kind of meanders around the Constitution when his advisors say so and everything else, but he's not a constitutionalist, and I would submit to you that Trump is not educated in the Constitution. Therefore, conveying that knowledge is impossible for a guy like that because he simply does not know. Let's talk about socialism to make the point, Chris.
Yes, sir. So I've got the quote right here. You remember his famous State of the Union address where he said, I will never... or the United States will never be a socialist nation. I've got it here somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
Remember
that's correct.
That famous?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Here in the United States, here it is. Here in the United States, we are alarmed by new calls to adopt socialism in our country. Tonight, we renew our resolve that America will never be a socialist country. And then he proceeded to implement the greatest amount of socialism in the history of the presidency of the United States, Sam, I submit to you. Can you disagree with that?
I cannot disagree with that. However, here's a couple of things to think about. Most Americans on the 4th of July wave the flag and sing the Star Spangled Banner, and before every sporting event where they literally have bread and circus all day long, they sing the Star Spangled Banner or the whatever, and you kind of go, well, wait a minute. Isn't that what all Americans do, the same thing that the president did? So the people that we have in office, I submit to you, are just a mirroring of our society. And if we can blame anybody for Trump basically backing socialism, hey, Mitt Romney of all people, and I'm not a defender of Mitt, but here's the point. When he tried to run for president, he said, look, half the people are into socialism and on the dole. And he got slaughtered for such a statement. Now, I'm not defending Romney as the good guy here. I'm making a point that the nation demands socialism from whom they elect these days. Now, I'm not saying that gets Trump off the hook. He's partly to blame, but we cannot hand the blame to him at all, at least in singularity for this. We can say, should he have done better? Should he have reduced spending? Yes, but he would have got a government completely shut down if he didn't sign anything. And so the question becomes, is shutting down the government going to be better than allowing a little socialism in the matrix that we find ourselves of free spending? We've got unlimited spending going on. It's happened for decades. It's not going to end till we hit the wall. There's no way to stop it. There's no way to get out of debt anyway. And so for a guy like that, you simply say, hey, let's make the people happy, but let's compare his socialism or the willingness to be socialist to somebody else who may be 10 times more socialist, bordering on communism by force. So the comparison would be, hey, Trump didn't mandate masks, but Biden did. Trump's far from perfect, but at least he held the line on, he held himself in check to a great degree on many things. So think about that from an economic standpoint.
Okay, yeah, I realize that the people are thoroughly corrupted into being habituated into socialism, including Republicans. Most people are looking forward to the day when they can retire and take advantage of the Social Security system that they believe they've been paying into for the last 50 years or so. But the problem, Sam, is both the people and the leadership of this country have become so thoroughly corrupted by, like what you said, 50 years of socialism. We need to break out of that mindset. We need to be re-educated and realize that we're not on a sustainable path. And who better to do that than an individual that can convene a press conference today and communicate with tens of millions of people?
But he can't.
Within a 24-hour period of time. He cannot.
But he can't.
How not?
No, because he doesn't know better. You can't communicate what you don't know, my friend. And how do I know he doesn't know any better?
Then he's not
because
worthy.
Because he's been a businessman that has been saved off the hook on his business dealings for his whole life. So he believes genuinely that, sure, that's bad, but it's necessary. And, hey, I've managed big debt my whole life, and people have basically saved my bacon over and over and over. And the same thing is going to happen here. No harm, no foul. That's his educational reality.
Yeah, well, it's incorrect, and he doesn't deserve my vote for the presidency. He didn't get it in 2020. He didn't get it in 2016. And if he runs in 2024, he won't get it, Sam.
Let's be clear. I did not vote for Trump in 2016. I did not vote for Trump in 2020, and I will not vote for Trump in 2024. I agree with you completely, and I'm not saying that he's you know, from a modern day point of view, worthy of our vote. I'm not saying that. I didn't vote for him, and I will maintain that. However, I will admit to you that he was more frugal with our money than most presidents in our lifetime. I should say than all presidents in our lifetime. For example, one of the things that President Trump did is for every new law that was passed, he removed eight of them, about, on average, from the books. Okay, so overall, he's slowing down and or reducing spending by that very nature. Now, sure, spending grows, but the bigger the number is, the bigger the spending grows in relation to. You can't help it in a debt-based system. It's impossible to prevent.
Yeah, well, unless one of those laws was the 2013 Federal Reserve Act, it's not going to do us any good. Because until and unless you get a hold of your own money, in the long run, the bankers are always going to win because the stack is always stacked against us.
That's
and
right.
You know that.
That's right. And Andrew Jackson back in the day, Andrew Jackson back in the day said, I'm going to rat out the bankers. They're a den of viper and thieves. And he ran out the bankers. Andrew Jackson back in those days was correct. But I submit to you that Trump doesn't know any better. Look, he's ran his businesses like that his whole life.
But you're making my points for me, Sam, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're making your point that he's not, hold on. You're making your point that he's not worthy of our vote, and you're making a point that maybe every president, 100% of them, that would not call a halt to the con game on the money system, is not worthy of our vote. I agree with that, but we're talking about Trump's success or a failure in office, and I would submit to you that a guy that reduces eight regulatory realities for every one that gets passed is on the right path compared to anybody else in our lifetime.
I would submit that he's not. Let me give you an analogy, and you tell me if this is appropriate or not, Sam.
Sure.
So if I, let's say I lived in Missouri, and I wanted to go to St. Paul, Minnesota, which is north, and I hired an Uber driver to take me to St. Paul, Minnesota. And we get on the main highway there. I don't know what it's called, but I used to live in that area. And then he proceeds to drive south to New Orleans. And I gently notify him that, hey, we're going the wrong direction. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. So instead of going to New Orleans at 65 miles an hour, he slows down to 45 miles an hour. Would you consider that a success? You're still going in the wrong direction.
All right, now let me stop you. So I would submit that to you is not a success. However, let me change the scenario slightly to put it, I believe, in reality perspective. Let's say that you get in the car innocently and think you're going to go north. And the second you get in the car, you realize you've been kidnapped. And you say to the driver, I want to go north. And he says, nope, we're going south. And then you say, I want to leave, or I want to this, or I want to that. And they say, you know what? We will kill you, or we will stop you. You're going south, buddy. We're kidnapped. You're going south. And then you get south and you get let out of the car and you go, whoa, that wasn't the ride I signed up for. How responsible are you for that? And I think that's the problem with people who run for office. They think that they can change things. They think that they can make a difference way more than the kidnapped car allows them to make. And so I think a lot of people go into office with great intentions. Donald was one of them. And when he gets there, he realizes the swamp is so deep and the current is so brutal that you jump in that river and say, man, I'm just going to swim up a few yards. The current's not that strong. I'm going to swim up a few yards and get to the other side. But then you find yourself getting out of the river and thank heavens you're alive, but you're downstream a mile because the current was way more. Okay, I believe it's a little more like that in scenario than the other way around. And the proof I would give for that is not a single president, no matter how well-intended they have been, has been able to even prevent the slide into socialism, not even George Washington. Now, Washington was a righteous man, and he basically said, I won't be a king, but the people wanted him to be a king, and a single man rejected it at the time, even though the people kind of howled for a king. And so individuals can have an effect, but there's a trajectory that once it's started and the ball's rolling, individuals are not really able to change that game. So I submit that it's a little bit like the swamp shanghaied Donald, relatively uneducated Donald, and took him for a ride. And when he got done, he went, holy crap, that was like being in the blender.
But how salutary would it have been, Sam, if he would have communicated that reality to the American people? Not on just, oh, you know, they
hang tight. Quick pause on your radio.
Okay.
In the country's northern region, killing at least 44 and injuring around 150 people. The tragedy, one of the deadliest civilian disasters in the country's history, occurred at Mount Moron. The event attracts tens of thousands from the ultra-Orthodox community. U.S. health regulators pledged again Thursday to try to ban menthol cigarettes. The Food and Drug Administration has attempted several times to get rid of menthol, but faced pushback from big tobacco, members of Congress, and Americans wanting freedom of choice. The lawsuit filed by anti-smoking and medical groups last summer is to force the FDA to finally make a decision. SpaceX launched a Falcon 9 rocket from Cape Canaveral in Florida on Wednesday, putting another 60 internet satellites into orbit. Over 1,500 Starlink satellites have been deployed by SpaceX, each weighing 550 pounds. USA Radio News.
America's great cities are in deep trouble. Businesses are closing, taxpayers fleeing, and police are defunded as crime and homelessness rise. It's a dangerous time in big cities like New York, L.A., Chicago, Seattle, San Francisco, and more. All this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax TV, exposing the real truth in his series, Cities on Fire. Every night, Rob Schmidt gives you the real news you won't hear anywhere else. So watch Rob Schmidt tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern and see his Cities on Fire special. Newsmax TV is on all major cable systems. If you don't get it, call your cable system. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. Plus, get Newsmax free on most smart TVs like Samsung, Sony, and LG. Or tune in on Roku, Pluto, Zumo, and YouTube Live. And millions have already downloaded the free Newsmax TV app on their smartphones. So start watching America's fastest-growing cable news channel. Because Newsmax is real news for real people.
Former President Trump says a 2024 presidential run is a probability at this time. Tim Berg from the Phoenix USA Radio News Bureau reports.
100% I'm thinking about running.
Former President Trump saying he's mulling a 2024 run for the White House. The former president continues.
We will, I think, be very successful. If we were very successful, look, I ran twice, and the second time I got 12 million more votes than the first time, which very rarely happens for a president. I got the largest number of votes in the history of our country for a sitting president. And I was told if I got 66 million, you couldn't lose. I got 75 million.
Trump also telling Fox Business he's considering Florida Governor Ron DeSantis as his running mate.
The 45th president is urging Americans to keep an eye on the 2020 election forensic audit going on now in Maricopa County, Arizona. Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, Sam Butchman, Chris Carlson. We're having a debate about the success of Donald Trump's presidency, and I submit Donald's way more successful than we're giving him credit for. No doubt he lacks in a lot of ways, and no doubt the country is worse off today than it was before Donald took office in many, 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 many ways. At the same time, though, I don't know that the acts of an individual and the thoughts and behavior of an individual can really, I don't know that you can hand the presidency, or, I'm sorry, I don't know that you can hand the country to a single guy and say, man, now we're going to hang that on the Donald. I don't know that that's a fair reality. So socialism, no doubt, we become a much more socialist nation, even though Donald Trump promised we would not. I think there's value to that point that Chris makes. Every point Chris makes has tremendous value. But we need to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater to some degree, too, to borrow the old colloquialism. We need to be kind of very careful a little bit to say how much, you know, power do we give to the president. Literally, Chris Carlson would give almost dictatorial power to the president in a way, because Congress holds the power of the purse, etc. Congress is responsible to deal with the money reality, not the president. How about Trump on abortion? Let's go there, Chris.
Okay. So I had a discussion with an individual that you may or may not be familiar with. She's a local talk show host, and I won't mention her name. And, you know, I mentioned that that Trump had within his power as the president the power to prosecute abortion providers. And she proceeded to scold me and say, well, that's not even a federal issue. And she went on to describe in about 60 seconds, Sam, how that the abortion issue was a states' right issue. And then, you know what my response was, Sam? It took you 60 seconds to explain to me how the abortion issue is really a states' rights issue, and it should be remanded to the state to resolve. How Donald Trump was the president for 4 years. All he would have had to have done, Sam, is to take 60 seconds out of his busy schedule and explain that to the American people in a press conference. Can you imagine how salutary that would have been to the public mind to realize that abortion can be resolved at the state level, where it's much more easily accessible to our representatives on the state level and our governors on the state level than it is on the federal level? And I agreed with her.
All it would take is the enemy press combined with the Democrats to snicker and laugh and mock and joke and get a few professors and a few quote constitutional scholars to jump aboard and say Donald's so nuts he doesn't even understand it. It's been a federal issue since Roe versus Wade in 1973. The president's completely ignorant about the appropriate realities of. of law. The Supreme Court has said that abortion is legal and fine, and it's all a pro-choice thing. Donald Trump hates women. He's not pro-choice. He hates you, and he thinks it's a state's rights when we all know it's a federal issue, and it's been literally that way for 50 years. And with the continued pounding of the press, Donald will be obliterated and have trouble making his case. Why? Because the people aren't educated. And even if Donald did prosecute and try to deal with that, take on the courts in that regard, what would have happened is just like President Trump on the border, for instance. President Trump tried to do a lot of right things on the border, and everything he did got struck down by some wacko activist judge over and over and over and over. Now, what Donald Trump has done, and we agree that every act is good and every thought is good that's righteous. And okay, I play a radio commercial where President Trump said, "Hey, send me a bill on pro-life, I'll sign it. Send it to me, get it done, please, Congress. I beg you to get it done." I'll even find the radio commercial. President Trump. And you can say that's just language, but it's more than any other president in my lifetime has done. The second thing he did is he jettisoned the Mexico policy, which funded abortions around the world. He put it back to where we didn't fund abortions. Now it's been reversed by Biden again. But he did take off murder and reduce the number of murders that are taking place. He also spoke to the pro-life rally. The pro-life rally has been going on since 1973, 50 years basically. And almost 50 years. And he basically spoke to that group. No other president before him has ever done that at all. And so President Trump has done quite a bit for the pro-life movement, even though you're not giving him any credit. You got to give him some, more than any other president in your lifetime, some.
Well, that's little consolation for the estimated 500,000 babies who are slaughtered in their mother's wombs every year. And no, I agree. Even though abortion should be a state's rights issue, and I support that notion because it's constitutional, according to the 10th Amendment. However, I would suggest that if you want to go with the federal position that you can deal with abortions on the federal level, based on the 5th Amendment alone, you know that, and there's a lot in there, so I'll just read the part that's relevant to the abortion issue, Sam. It states that no person shall be denied of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Based on that constitutional provision alone, Donald Trump's attorney general can prosecute all of the abortion providers in the nation. Could he not? But you have to appoint.
I think he could try to. But you got to have an attorney general that would do that, number one. You got to get Congress to buy off on your attorney general, number two. And then number three, you'd be challenged in every single court in the land. And let me prove the point to you. There have been governors that have tried to stand up for pro-life, and the governors have been slapped down across the country by the courts for literally decades. And if you don't believe me, go ask Arkansas and some of the other states, Mississippi and some of the other states that are pretty bold to defend the right to life, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So, I mean, I appreciate that you think with the stroke of a pen that can get done, but the reality is much more nuanced and much more difficult than you think that it is. Should President Trump maybe have been bolder and tried to do some of those things? Absolutely. I was the one when the Republicans took control in the very beginning in the House before they had the Senate, the White House, and the courts, and I'm the one that said pro-life was the most quintessential issue that we could possibly ever deal with, and they better double down and get it done now. So I agree 100% that there could have been more President Trump has could have done, and he could have pushed harder. And I agree that he should have, and he didn't, and that's a sad tale to tell. But I would submit to you that he's still done more than any president in my lifetime for pro-life. And had the Republicans, who were supposedly on his team, handed him a bill that he could have signed relating to partial birth abortions, et cetera, et cetera, he would have signed that, I'm convinced. Same thing is true, for example, with health care. Donald Trump did all that he could on health care. Congress promised they would pass it over. 40-plus times the Republicans said they would get rid of Obamacare. They failed and did not. Donald Trump still, though, used an executive order, which I'm not fond of, but and he said we're not going to mandate that people have Obamacare. So he did his very best on that, even though Congress, even though his own team wouldn't back him.
Yeah, well, I agree. That is one of the bright spots of his presidency, Sam. I will give him credit for eliminating the Obamacare mandate. That was a stroke. But again, the executive order was not the authority by which he did that. The authority by which you do anything in a position of power and influence in government is the Constitution, whether that be the state or the federal Constitution. But you
I agree, that's the authority you should use for sure.
But, you know, yeah, exactly. But you and I, Sam, we're not even elected officials. But we have the authority to save lives. If I saw somebody beating the crap out of a smaller person on the street, I have the authority to go over there and defend that smaller person. I don't need to be a congressman. I don't need to be the president of the United States. We have the authority from God to do what is right. And Donald Trump, as the president of the United States, has a lot more visibility than you and I. And he should have used that visibility to convene press conferences and to educate the people on the principles of the Constitution. That alone, based on not his authority as president, but on his ability as somebody who has access to the media. That should have been his main power. And I would suggest that every president... Yeah. Anyway,
I agree with that. But let me ask you, though. He went to the national or to the pro-life event that happens every single year in January, and he literally spoke to that crowd defending life, begging for a bill, articulating the importance of this. No other president in your lifetime has ever done that. You got to give him significant credit for that, for jettisoning the Mexico reality, so stopping abortions internationally to the best of his ability. No other president has even come close to doing those kinds of things. Could he have done more? Absolutely. We can always say that, though. For example, in the last 4 years, what have you done blatantly, publicly, to jettison abortion? So I've done quite a bit. I've been on the radio and advocated for it and talked about it. Okay, and you may have done some things. I'm not downing your part. I'm just saying we can all do more. I agree with that for sure.
Okay, so we agree on for the most part on that issue.
But do we agree, though, that President Trump has done more in our lifetime for pro-life than any president?
Yes. But again, that's like saying I got last place in an ugly contest. Well, you still qualified for the contest, buddy. It's just nothing
that's
to
right.
brag
and I'm
about.
Still, and I'm still a child of God, even though I got the last ugliest deal there.
Well, don't take that really personally.
No, there you go.
You're a good-looking
guy. How about let's talk about lands? I'm on federal lands. Yeah. When we come back, we'll talk about lands, and we'll talk about open borders, both of them together, because we're running out of time. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live. Sam Bushman talking to Chris Carlson, a debate about Donald Trump, how successful was his presidency. It's not a win-or-lose debate, ladies and gentlemen. It's an educational discussion about where we sit in America and what can we do about it. By the way, next hour, I'm going to be talking to Scott Bradley. The topic's going to be, has America swallowed a communist poison pill? We'll talk about that. All right, Chris, so you wanted to talk about land, foreign lands and the border, right?
Correct. You want me to start off?
You betcha.
Okay. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution reads, Congress shall exercise like authority
Hold on,
over
who?
All places.
Hold on,
Congress.
Who? Not the president.
Okay.
Who?
Yeah.
Congress. Go ahead. But, so I don't know why we're talking about Congress when you're going to defend or when you're going to say Donald Trump's responsible for it, but go ahead, sir.
It goes back to education. See, the president
You mean that you're supposed
to,
hold on, you mean you're supposed
to
educate
American
your
people?
Public official? Hold on. You mean you're supposed to educate your public officials about their duties and demand that they uphold them?
Yeah. He's the titular head of the nation. He has the ability and I would say obligation. It may not be written in the Constitution, Sam. I will give you that. But I believe he has a moral obligation to educate the people on the principles upon which this nation was established. Even though it may not be his constitutional authority to do anything about it. Congress shall exercise like authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the Senate, or I'm sorry, the same shall be for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, dockyards, national parks, oh wait, that's not in there, and other needful buildings, Article 1, Section 8. So all
so let me stop
Trump,
you. I hear that the states and the legislative body at the federal level are all responsible for this, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait a minute. What
I'm with you.
Say that again. Congress.
Well,
Congress can establish these things.
Yeah, the federal legislative body,
not
the judicial, not the executive, the federal legislative body and the states are the ones responsible for this fiasco, right?
Yep, in conjunction.
Now, Donald did come to Utah, though, and try to take some land back and take it out of, quote, government control, right? And he
had a huge was wasting jet fuel.
Press conference about it.
He had a huge press conference, but, you know, he wouldn't have had to have come to the state of Utah to do that. All he would have had to do is articulate
the
constitutional provision.
Hold on. But in the past, you said what he needs is a big press conference. Now I give you one, and he says, you could have done it different. I know he could always do it different. He could always do it my way or your way or Larry's way or Joe's way or Tina's way or Lisa's way. I get it. But he did his best. He came and gave a big press conference to your point, right?
Exactly. Well, he didn't articulate. Did you think he quoted Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution when he did that?
Not.
Probably
I'd have to
not.
Go back and listen. Probably not.
He
again, he doesn't know the Constitution. But again, he fought for our land rights, at least on the domestic side, more than any other president. How many other presidents have taken land back from the feds and said, hey, this is not ours to take? Zero.
Well, zero. Again, going back to the analogy about the ugly contest. I'm sorry, Sam. But he did not articulate constitutional principles. See, that's what's glaringly missing here. He needs to articulate, because those are not just constitutional principles. Those are divine principles, as you and I both know.
Yes,
and
they're fundamental.
What's
no doubt about
from
it.
From this nation, divine principles.
You won't get an argue from me whatsoever. All right, let's jump to the border, because I want to get to these before the end of the hour, by the way. dumped the border. Okay. The border. He really fought hard on the border. He articulated. He had press conference after press conference after press conference. He literally even said criminals are coming across the border, drug traffickers, rapists, child molesters, and child sex traffickers, and he just got slaughtered as a racist for it. He then tried to put his systems in place to protect the border to the best of his ability, and every time he'd put something up, the courts would shut him down, right?
Yeah, forget about the courts. The courts are corrupt. He should have articulated that to the American people. He should have gone around the courts. I don't care if they're constitutional or not. He should have acknowledged that he's never going to get
hold on, hold on.
To the courts.
Hold on. You're telling me you don't care if it's unconstitutional or not?
Exactly. And I'll say it again, and I stand behind my words. Yeah, I don't care. When you know, let's go back to a major.
But did he do more to protect our border than any other president?
That's not saying a whole lot.
Okay, just want to make sure we're clear on that.
But you have to realize, as early as 1858, the Supreme Court ruled in the Dred Scott decision that human beings can be held as slaves. Okay, are you going to honor that court decision? I'm certainly not. So the courts can make mistakes, and when they make mistakes, it is then up to the people, and the president can facilitate this rebellion against those courts and say, no way, not in this country, okay? So when they ruled, there were several rulings on the part of lower federal courts that said, no, you can't build a wall for this reason, that reason, and, you know, various and sundry. You just need to go around those and say, we're going to appeal to the people. We're going to take up a collection. The number, I think, was $28 billion that they needed to erect the wall. And that's probably a little high, but I could have done it cheaper. But let's say it's $28 billion. What you do is you appeal directly to the people, Sam, and say, okay, we need 28 billion people. We're going to take up a collection.
By the way, David A. Clark Jr., well-known former sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and many others, did create a Build the Wall group to try to do that very thing. And it didn't go very far, but they tried hard.
Well, but when the President of the United States sponsors it, people would take it a little more seriously. You would have to admit that, don't you, Sam?
And the question is, legally, can the President literally go directly to the people as President and put together a donation campaign to circumvent Congress and the courts? And will that get him impeached or killed, or what will that do to the President? What I mean is, the President has his hands tied more than you think he does.
Well, this nation was conceived in rebellion. So I suggest
President Trump got named the great insurrectionist just because he said to people at the Capitol or at the rally, go down to the Capitol and peacefully let them know that you want them to look into vote fraud. And now he's the greatest known modern day insurrectionist, to the point where Joe Biden now says the great insurrection led by Donald Trump on January the 6th, 2021. That was even bigger than 9/11. It's been the biggest insurrection since the Civil War, says Joe Biden right now. And they continue to prosecute. They continue to prosecute everybody around the president. They just raided Rudy Giuliani's house just the other day. 2 days ago, they raided his house over these very kind of topics. And so I understand your point, but it's a little tougher than you might give credence to.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be tough. And if you're going to be accused of being an insurrectionist, Sam, make it count, buddy. You know, don't just go halfway.
He didn't get how deep that swamp was until that moment, I think. When they kicked him off Twitter and called him an insurrectionist and stuff, I think he kind of had a rude awakening to the point where he didn't even take them on in the Capitol. He just simply let Air Force One take him away to avoid a civil war in America. So at some point, you got to say, how hard can you push before you get worse results than you intend? These communists, these socialists are literally rabid crazy. If you don't believe me, they created a city in Washington State or whatever it is to prove the point or whatever. They literally create a city within a city. And the president said, look, I need to go down there and stop this. This is crazy town. And the state said, don't you dare send in your people. We'll let the violence and the abuse of the cops and everything else rage. And he tried to stop that too, but how far can he go?
Yeah. Right? Well, you'll always have people that disagree. I mean, throughout Christian history, there have been people that have opposed. But here's what he needed to do. Saul Alinsky wrote a book. You're familiar with this book, Sam. It's called Rules for Radicals. In the book, yes, he articulated a principle that is being played out today. It's called pressure from below, pressure from above. You're familiar with that principle. And the Democrats have employed that principle to a great effect throughout
That's because they control the deep state, which is pressure from above. They control the shadow government.
Uh-huh.
And it's also because the people are with them from below, if you accept that the people are below.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are half the nation supports Trump. I would suggest even more than half the nation. He was the legitimate
I think the majority of the nation is against Donald Trump.
Okay, well, reasonable minds can disagree on that. I think,
and I'll prove the point.
At least about half.
How many of us defended Trump when he said, "Let's abolish health care, government mandated health care, or Obamacare, whatever you want to call it, Romney care, who knows what you call it? Let's abolish it." Congress promised they would, then they failed. How many Americans stood up and said, "Congress, the president wants it. We want it. We demand you get it done." And the answer is, it was a resounding silence. The people did nothing. Mm. Right?
Well, we're worse off.
In fact, did you call your congressman about that?
Okay, I stand corrected.
Right, so I'm saying the people are not, they say they like Trump. They might have voted for Trump, but they're not willing to back Trump, as far as I can see. All right, let's talk about, let's talk about wars of foreign aggression and wars in foreign lands, because it's important.
Exactly, okay. Okay, when we've talked about this in the past, yeah, they're wrong. So what you do is you fire all of your establishment generals, you replace them, you have to, this takes delegation. This takes a lot of work and a lot of planning. You first of all, you have to fire all of your establishment generals because there are deep state generals throughout the Pentagon and the military. You got to get rid of them. But you have to delegate that authority with people you trust. And then you replace them with people that are on board with the non-aggression principle. You're familiar with that. You don't initiate aggression. And then and only then, Sam, are you prepared to withdraw troops from wars of foreign aggression. And while you're at it, withdraw them from North or South Korea, withdraw them from Japan, withdraw them from Germany.
Yeah, we're in 130 nations militarily. Withdraw them from all those places. The question becomes, can President Trump go up against the deep state and the money changers backing the military industrial complex and win? At this stage, I'm not so sure he can.
But he failed to use his most powerful weapon, Sam, which is the bully pulpit. You need to use that. You need to educate. You need to articulate. And I agree, there will be people that will push back and resist. That's fine. But you realize that during the Revolutionary War, it was about a third, maybe less. A lot of people think it was only 3% of the American colonists who were part of the revolutionary movement.
And I don't know that we have 3% that even understand the dishonest money system, do you?
Well, that's why you have to get on your bully pulpit and inform the people of what's going on. I dare say half the population would probably say, wait a minute, nobody's ever explained it to me in those terms. And I can
valuable. So they eventually chopped off Donald's only way to get directly to the American people without the gatekeepers, which at some point was Twitter. They eventually chopped that off. Do you think if he really educated and pushed the envelope like you're saying, they would have chopped him off earlier?
They would have used, but that would have played into his plan. The more they try to censor him, the more curiosity that arouses in the general public, Sam. Because censorship
is called the strike. We're about out of time. Trump on prosecuting criminals.
He could start by appointing an attorney general that agrees with his agenda to prosecute criminals, like Hillary Clinton, like George Soros. But he didn't. He chose Bill Barr. And who was the one that preceded Bill?
I can't remember right now, but you're correct.
Anyway,
I think one of Trump's greatest failures, and this is my personal opinion, I think one of his greatest failures was who he chose to surround himself with. And I think even though he may not have realized it at the time, that was Trump's primary undoing. No question about that reality. I'll give you that one, Chris. Thanks for the enlightened, valuable conversation. Godspeed, my brother. We'll talk soon. For Sam and Chris, God save the Republic of the United States of America.